Well, some of you are Christian today. You know for sure that when you began to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, so there were more for you to know about him. So you were born of God to know more and to grow into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so for us as Christians in this world, to the day when the Lord calls us home or the day on which he will return, we need to grow to the maturity to know the depth of his love and his power and his righteousness, to know his work in using us powerfully to bring his word to others with compelling power and that saves. And so God today in his word is showing us how we can grow, how we can be the people he has truly called to accomplish his purposes and also to realize his plans for our lives. And so we find this in the book of Colossians. So Apostle Paul writing to believers at Colossae, or Colossae, as we say. So today is something you need to be aware of, that no matter how long you've been living as a Christian, you have more to know about Christ. You have more to know, and you need to know that it's not just a head knowledge. It's not just like an intellectual knowledge. It's a knowledge that transforms your life. It's a knowledge that makes you different every day because of the knowledge of God himself. And that is what we are here for today. And we can only do the things that God has called us if we are growing in our love for him, if we are growing and grasping all that he has desired for us as his people. And there we will be excited. We will be so on fire. Yeah, I think you have seen the last 3 days that the Presbyterian Church at South Yara was on fire, isn't it? Isn't it? So I say, oh, well, we as Presbyterian, we are making head news just only because our churches are being burned down or are burning. So we need to be on fire, isn't it? Not our churches. We need to be on fire, and we cannot be on fire unless we are growing, we are grasping what Paul is saying. Paul, he was writing to a people he praised already. And I'm saying this, it's not that you are not Christian. I'm not saying this because you are not growing. I'm not saying this because you have not come to know Christ. Paul says he praised these people. He called them a holy people, a faithful people, a faithful brethren in Christ at Colossae or at Colossae. So these are people who have come to faith. These are believers in the Lord. So Paul affirms this. He affirms them. And he said to them, we heard of your faith. We heard of your faith. We heard of your love for Christ. And we heard also of your love for the saints. Do you love Christians? Do you rejoice when you meet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? These people, that was what they were. They were. So they were lovers of their fellow believers. So this is what Paul says. We always thank God. It's something just caused him to thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for the saints. For all, not just the saints, all the saints from every tribe and tongue. You see? So we don't need to miss these small words. So in fact, all is means that even the places where you would not want to go, like people you would not want to mix up with. But if they are saints and they are born of God, and so they are brethren, and that is why Paul is calling you brothers. He's a Jew himself, and yet he is calling these people who are mostly Gentiles, you see, brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said that these people, they have faith, true faith, the faith of the gospel of spoken of in Philippians chapter 1, the faith of the gospel, the faith that is really rooted in the fact that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and rose victoriously, and he has promised the Holy Spirit, and on the day of the Pentecost, he poured out the Holy Spirit on those who have believed in him, and they went and they turned the world upside down. And so the world is waiting for us to be turned upside down. So Paul was writing to a people like this, and yet he has more to say and to pray to God for these people. What a wonderful thing to look forward to more of God. more, we think more and more about Jesus, is it? More of his love, and you see, yeah, to see. So we sing these things. What does that mean? Means that we long for this, more of Jesus. And when Jesus is fully seated on the throne of your heart, you can say, yes, now I have more of Jesus and I can go on having more of Jesus. So Apostle Paul was speaking to such a people. And he said to them, look, you have a great reputation that you are believers and you are fruitful. But you, he will pray later that he will need, want them also to go on. You see? So this is what he's saying. I'm just telling you. And these people were doing that because they have a hope. So they are doing this. They are not looking for anything here on earth, but they are looking forward to the rewards that is in heaven. So that is why their labor is not just because they got a reward here, they maybe paid or something like that. No, they are called by God to do that. Paid or not paid is just the reality here. So Apostle Paul saying, look, we know all these things. And he praised their minister, the guy who just who proclaimed the truth and brought them to the Lord, Epaphras. It's a difficult word, isn't it? Epaphras. So Epaphras, our brother, our fellow servant, our fellow worker of the gospel, he is just with the apostle because Paul is saying he's an apostle. He is speaking on the behalf of the apostles. And he said, this man, our fellow brother, servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ. He is a faithful minister of the gospel. This is what he's saying. On our behalf. He's our representative. He is preaching the same gospel. And who also told us of your love in the Spirit. So this love is a love that comes from the Spirit. It's not manufactured. It's not just taught. You're oppressed that to love others. No. It's something that is just so natural because the Holy Spirit came and dwells in you, and you remember the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God is love. The Holy Spirit bears all the marks of God and all the marks of Jesus Christ. He had pity. He loves us, and he walked all the way. He set his face like a flint to Jerusalem to die on the cross out of love. And that is why he says, is there any love more than that one should give his life for his brothers? And I mentioned a few weeks ago that when Jesus saw that we got flesh and blood, he too shed in our blood. So to come into our world, to associate himself with us, to align himself with us, so that he can be our representative. Now, Apostle Paul says, for this reason, for this wonderful faith you have, for this fruitfulness that I'm seeing in your midst, because you are bearing fruit, the gospel is bearing fruit all over the world. The gospel that has come to you all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing. It's making more disciples, this gospel. It's growing you in God. And this is what Paul says. And I got two prayer points that have some parts. That is the verses that I'm going to focus on. But I'm trying to give you where Paul was coming from, to give you what I was warned not to use, like to be like down to earth. No, not to use the word context, but perhaps to see what has gone before and what is going to come, what follows. You see, so we need to test our tongues to show our learning. When the true learning is to know God. Listen, when you know God, you don't grow puff up in your knowledge or anything by knowledge, but to go down in humility so that you can help those who are languishing. The world is just perishing, and we are in agony because we do have. Look, we don't have young Southern Sudanese boys and girls, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. It's just dark. Where are they? Are we anointed enough to share that? Many have passed through this church. For the last 20 years I've been in this country. Where are they? Is God saying something for us, to us in this regard? But Paul says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And now this is my first point. What is his prayer? He continues. These people have already received the gospel, but he is praying. And now his first prayer is this. He is saying, I am asking God. We are not just praying for one day, but we are constantly praying for you, the people of God at Colossae. We are praying for you, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. That is verse 9, the first part of verse 9. That was his, when you know our sister, Jyoti, got up and shared with us a prayer point, a one prayer point. So while Paul now, this is one of his prayer points. He's saying, this is very important. And we know the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God, the living Word. It's God Himself wanting this for His people. This is what God wants for us. And that is what Paul is captioning by the Spirit and telling us that this is what we need to know. We need to be filled. We need to be filled with the knowledge of His will. To be filled and to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. So what is that? What is the knowledge of God's will? So we take it to mean like, oh, well, what job He would want me to do or who to marry. And that is fine. You see, but the will of God, if we can read it in the Bible. So the will of God for us, what is His will? Even Thessalonians picked it up. And you see also Ephesians also picks it up. The will of God for us is our holiness, isn't it? The will of God for us is to be a people He has called to be and to walk before Him. All the scriptures, I can tell you, is the will of God for us. So everything that is said in the Bible, like even the Ten Commandments, you should not covet your neighbor's wife or property or anything. Why? Because God is a generous God. His will for you is to trust Him and not to go the other way around. So His will is when we know Him personally, when we have more knowledge of Him, we will know how to live. Because that is what Paul is going to say now. Because this knowledge is not just a knowledge you acquire by different means. He has given us a means by which we acquire this knowledge. The means by which we will be filled with this. That is why he says this knowledge, you will be filled with this knowledge, with the methods that is, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You see? So this is what he's saying. He says, this knowledge, you will know it through the spiritual wisdom and understanding. So if you want to know what is wisdom, go to the first 8 verses of Proverbs. Because you will know what the wisdom does. You flee from fornication, from adultery. You flee from prostitutes. You listen to your mom and dad. So the wisdom is saying, this is you act wisely as God would want you to act. Because God Himself is a wise God. And so the wisdom and wise, those are the same word. You see, wisdom will become a noun, isn't it? Well, wise is a noun, you see. So Paul is saying this because he knows this is the safest place for you as Colossians. When you are filled with the knowledge of God, when you know God intimately, and when you know how He would want you to live, and then now you will grow into maturity. That is why he says it's spiritual wisdom. And Job calls God who is wise. Job 9, verse 4, if we can go there. His wisdom is profound. His power is vast. Who has resisted Him and come out unscathed? So the wisdom of God cannot be frustrated. When He acts, no one can overturn His actions. So Paul is saying, when you know the will of God for you, that comes through this spiritual wisdom, you will be acting in such a way that God will be pleased. So you will be acting wisely. So for example, because this word, we cannot know it until we see it really at work, isn't it? Because this word was taken by philosophers and they studied it as a philosophical phenomenon. You see, so this is very important. So we know that we were created after the image of the wise God in the first place, isn't it? And then we fell into sin and we rebelled And then really we have lost these attributes, this God's attributes. You see that he has communicated to us in the first place when we were created in his own image, to be wise, to be holy like him. We were communing with God, and Adam was given the free hand to name all the animals, and God was agreeing with him. So his moral were high as God's morals. So he was a friend of God. And so himself and God were friend. But the separation came at the fall. And so man became foolish. Ever. Needed God again to restore him, to restore in him the image. And that is why Paul is calling out, now I'm praying that you will be filled with the knowledge of God. And that somehow, so the image of God at the new creation, you will realize. And so this is what he's saying. He said, like, this comes only through the spiritual spirit of God, the spiritual wisdom and understanding. So they go together. You read that in Isaiah 11. The spirit of God, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of power, you see, the spirit of self-control. So these virtues, you can display them only when God himself is the one who is filling us, and we cannot do it. It's God has to give us. And now Paul is saying, this comes through this. And we pray this, and that is the purpose he is saying this. He said, you need to be filled with the knowledge of God that comes through the spiritual wisdom. For what reasons? To be powerful? To be the leader of your people? No, this is not what he's saying. This is a purpose clause. He says, this in order, we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. You see, a life that is worthy of the Lord. What does that mean? A life that is worthy of the Lord. You see, Jesus said, I come into this world that you might have life and life to the full. Isn't it? And so we cannot live the life that Jesus desired for us until we come to be filled with the knowledge of God and align ourselves with his purposes so that his son is honored. He didn't die in vain. He died to make us wise. He died to make us full with the Holy Spirit, full of the knowledge of God's will for us and God's purposes for his creation. And so we, as his own people, we will never be in darkness in terms of what to do and how to do it. We've got the means, and it has been revealed to us. All that we need is to be filled with this knowledge, and so with not with any other knowledge, because other knowledge are competing, and they are just rendering us powerless, unwise. And so we need to be prayed for and to pray for this. One example, when I was traveling in January to Saudi Arabia, I have mentioned this, and I need to mention this because this really fit the occasion today, fit this sermon, because as I was thinking of how can I explain, like, I have wisdom. How do you have wisdom? How do you know that you are wise? Because sometimes we make it to means, oh, look, I've been working hard for 40 years. I bought a house. I raised my children. I have a wife and all these things. And so I have nice cars and I have good friends, different memberships. I've visited many countries. And so the will of God for me is this. See, that is not what God is saying. That is not. These things are good. They are good. They are not bad. In fact, they mean that you perhaps there's God wisdom there, you see. But that is not what Paul is saying here. He said, when we live according to the Christ, that means that we all live the same way and we will have the same things. And if I'm not having these things, I'm not living according to Christ. Is that what the Bible is teaching here? No, it's not. But what is then living according to the a life that is worthy of Christ? Worthy of Christ. You see, he who wants to be first must be last, who want to be great must be the servant of all. You see, and then Jesus didn't envy anyone. The Pharisees envied him and the leaders of his time, and they wanted to kill him, to silence him, but they didn't know that was in the will of God. And so that those who live for Christ, he died so that those who live will no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and raised again, or rose again. That is the will of God for us. And that is what Paul is saying here, that we live a life worthy of Christ, that we attain to all that Christ desired to achieve for us as his followers. No less than that. That is what he's praying. He said, like, you have started well, but now you need to finish well. You need to grow. You need to know him. Some people, they struggle with the same issue for 20 years, for 30 years. No, that is not the will of God for us. We need to pray that we break from the habits. I used to smoke. I used to wear fanciful things. Do you want me to show you my photos? But these things are our pride. These things are fleshly. Used to speak difficult words, isn't it? And so the difficult words are philosophical, are earthly wisdom, as James would tell us. But here we are called to live in such a way that God will say, exactly that is what I meant for you. This is what I meant for restoring you to myself, to be a child of the Most High God. And this is what I meant for you to be, so that I am fully convinced that my son didn't die in vain. Now I have restored to myself my people, the people that I have meant to make. That is what Paul is saying, to live a life that is worthy of the Lord. And then, because this sentence, the way the English is written, is like you have a sentence that has two parts. You see, the first part is that we walk a life that is no less than the Lord Jesus Christ, worthy of him. One more example. See, I think I didn't say what happened when I was going to Saudi Arabia, isn't it? Yeah. So I just remember this because I was about to give you the second example without telling you the first example. Yeah. So as I was preaching on the 16th of January at Dandenong Presbyterian Church, and I just forgot to tell one of my dear friends, David Palmer, with his wife, Chris. They were worshiping with us that day. David Palmer is a retired Presbyterian minister who is nearly 80 now, but is still active in giving advice. So I saw him was walking to the car. Chris was already there in the car. And then I said, David, do you know that I'm going to Saudi Arabia? I said, David, I want you to pray for me. And then he turned back and he came, and I told him that I was going to Saudi Arabia. And he laughed because that was really funny. And he said, how do you want me to pray for you? Paul was told by God how he should pray for the people there. And what I said to him, I said, I want you to pray for wisdom and protection. Those two words that will stay with me to the end of my life here on earth. Because that was what really God did. So when I went, how did I act? I act wisely. So I was protected. So God must have answered that prayer. So whether we understand what it means to be wise or don't, well, this is how it is worked out. So God covering, God protection, and God grace to you to act wisely in such a way that his name is glorified, and you also, you are given opportunity to witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was what happened. So how can you take on a Saudi Arabian with turban, your driver, to take him on and to share with him straight away from the gospel? Other occasion, I wouldn't do that. But that particular times, God gave me wisdom to do that. You see, he did that. So wisdom, through the spiritual wisdom, wisdom and understanding. So I understood that God wants me to act in this way. This is what God wants for us. And then also, he says that worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. Who can do that, to please God in every way? Who can do that? Who can do that? God himself is the one who can enable us to please him in every way. And that is why Paul says that this can come only. You need to be full with this knowledge. We need to be full of God himself, and so that you act in such a way that he himself is pleased. That is why he said, this is my beloved son, in him I'm well pleased. his son, because he knew that his son will act wisely. That is why in Isaiah he says, my servant will act wisely. Is it Isaiah 40, 52? You see, he will not lift his voice. A bruised reed, you see, he will not crush. So this is what Paul is praying for these people. So he says, this is the will of God for you. When you know this, you act in this way. And that also will result in fruitfulness, bearing fruits. You've got two dots over each other. So we call it noktatain for bath, isn't it, in Arabic? So that was, I taught Arabic. So noktatain for bath. Two dots over each other, isn't it, in your Bible. Do you see that? Saying that bearing fruit, you see? That is just in alignment. So you cannot please God in every way that is not shown in good conducts, in good fruits, in being fruitful in what you do for God. Like the Colossians themselves, they were bearing fruits through the work of the gospel. And so God wants us, but these things will not happen if we are not filled with the knowledge of the will of God for us. And Paul prays this prayer because he knows God is God who answers prayers, is God who can do it. And as you sit here, you may be thinking, how can I get to this? Well, all that we need to do as we sit this morning, as I speak myself, is to believe it. Everything, we receive it by faith, isn't it? So not by works, not by trying harder, to open our hearts to God, that all that is telling us here, because the Bible is written for us. This, as you sit, you believe that I will be filled with the knowledge of God and that I will walk through God's grace and mercy. We talk a lot about mercy today, isn't it? It is by his mercy that we arrive to that situation. We are to that point, you see, that God will be pleased with us. Who can please God? Can I please God? Well, if you look to me and you find fault with me many times, well, God may say that he is pleased with me because I believe that I am full with his knowledge, that I cry to him. I just rely on him and him alone. And I rely on the work of Christ and Christ alone. I rely on the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone that can bring to me the knowledge with which I can understand that this is God's will for me. And so bearing fruits in every good work. Good Samaritan was, he did a good work, isn't it? And that is why Jesus praised him. You see, he acted wisely. He knew that this is the will of God for him to please him in this way and not to overlook such a person that God has placed on his way. And today also, God is calling us. These are the means of grace. How can we grow if we don't give, if we don't love, if we don't sacrifice our time, if we don't repent of our sins, when we are proud, when we are just being puffed, when we are puffed up with earthly knowledge, earthly wisdom that we read of in James chapter 2. You see, earthly wisdom, it's not peaceful, isn't it? So, yeah, comes with divisions and envy and all sorts of things. But the heavenly wisdom is peaceful, isn't it? Yes, it's full of love. Full of humility, full of all these things. So the fruits that we bear, they are shown in the good work we do. Not that we are rewarded, but that God might be pleased. And this is his will. And when his will is done, that is why we pray, let your will be done. Let your will be done. This should be the cry of every believer. This should be his God's will. And this is what he's praying. And now this is a chain of all the things that we display as God's people, growing in the knowledge of God, growing in the knowledge. I've known him, but I go on knowing him more and more. And in this knowledge, I will be like Jesus as I grow. Because like even our children, if they are not growing, if every year they're just small like this, the following year, what do? We take them to the hospital, isn't it? We take them to be examined. There might be something wrong. You see, when something is not really taking the right course of growth or anything, so we consult. And so here Paul saying, like, look, God wants us to grow also in the knowledge of him, to know him more and more, and to love him more. Is your love growing every day for God? Do you have a zeal for his name that he is glorified Are you upset that people are not attributing to God the whole creation or to Christ the Lordship? These are the things that the Holy Spirit can only do for us when we grow in this. I should not forget to share with you how challenged I am by a young man, a Southern Sudanese boy, whom I'm praying for, and the Presbyterian World Mission, last time they helped him out. This young man, Hamis Agostino, I taught him in his second year, theological college in Khartoum. This young man, he went to one of the parts of the Northern Sudan in a heavily populated Muslim area. And because they have a church that has been there for nearly 30 years, but there is no minister. This man, he finished, he is not ordained. This young man, he is serving there in two churches. And I asked him yesterday, as I was talking with him, how far you travel between your two parishes? He said to me, he got two services, one 9 a.m. and then the other one 3 p.m. So where he is living is where the 3 p.m. church is. But he has to travel from this church to the other church every morning. He leaves his home 6 a.m. to go and conduct a service around 9 a.m. And I said, how far do you walk? He walks 1 hour and a half. No transport. And he will go 1 hour and a half, having had just only tea, and then he will go and conduct that service. And then around 11, when he finished, until 12, and then he will rest again a little bit. And then, or up to 11:30, and then they will start walking back to that church. And he said, you will have a rest after that. And then 3 o'clock, he will just conduct the other service up to 6, and that's it. And I said, and then, so you do all this thing without meal? And he laughed. He laughed. I said, well, if you get something, that is a mercy. And if there's nothing, all that you do after all this long day, after all these services, is just like to take your bed and just sleep. How about that? And that is for the glory of God, and that is for the glory of Christ. So this young man is trying to live in a life worthy of Christ, the one who has called him and touched him. And I asked him, I had a lengthy talk with him last night. And I asked him and I said, is there no support? But there was a guy. He said, the one who has helped him. He said, many years ago, over 10 years ago, there was a newer guy. That is why I love the cross-cultural ministry. Because this boy is a Shuluk. He's not Nuer. He's a Shuluk, another tribe. But the man who helped him to faith is a Nuer, like myself. You see? So this man, he said he will go after us when we were drinking and he will bring me to church and then we will run away again and then he will go and come back again and will take us and teach us in the Sunday school. And then he said, this man now is living in another distant area, like 2 hours drive. And he said this man will visit them in their parish after this man has really been touched by God and he's doing that service for the Lord. And he will come and encourage him. And this man was telling me this, what a wonderful work of God's grace in their lives. And this man, this newer guy, he said he's good languages. He's good in both languages, Arabic and English. And he's working as a builder. That is how he's supporting his family. He is an elder in the church. So Hamis challenged me so much. Pray for me on the 26th of May. I've been asked just randomly by the Presbyterian World Mission to come and just present to them about my mission endeavors and how I travel and I try to support others. So this is how we can grow in the knowledge of God. And now Paul didn't stop there. I've given you some illustration. I explained a few things and I want to move on to the next prayer point, isn't it? So it's dragging on. Well, in Africa, people stay 4 hours and some other people pray, walk like 2 hours to conduct services. So I think we can wait, and we have plenty of food to eat after that, isn't it? Unless you cannot sit. Please, if you feel like you have stayed so long, you can stand. And then now you say, like it's not only that. We know that we are filled with this knowledge. But also we need the strength. We need to be empowered. So you need to, you have a little power, isn't it? But you need to be full of power. The power that comes from God. So this is what he's saying. Let me state this. Being strengthened with all power. With all powers. Just not only one power. The power that will suit every single mission you will take. Every opportunity you take to witness. There will be all the resources you need demonstrating the sovereign power of God. Whether the power of reasoning, you see, whether the power of love, because actually two different people can act the same action, but one action will differ from the others. That will be immersed in the love of God. That will prompt this person and say, oh, there's something different here. You see, how many people who are giving today? Plenty, you see. But the only gifts that really counts is the gift that is furthering purposes of God. I was going to say hallelujah. I don't know whether I'm going to be thrown out. Well, some people really desire to be excommunication from things that want to just really limit us from living truly as those for whom Christ died. And so this power that you don't fear, isn't it? No fear. The power, all powers, that there will be no fear. You see? Have you seen a champion who is heavyweight champion fearing like a lightweight champion? Have you seen that in the boxing world? Yeah, but we might not be like powerful like that, as some people will think. Well, a young boy empowered like David, empowered by God, can bring down, you see, someone who has only world's power. You see, so the power of God cannot be underestimated. And Paul knew this, that we need the power of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. According to his glorious might. God's mighty power is glorious. It's glorious. And that is what really Paul is praying for these people. Let me not dwell on this so much, because this is what we need. We need the strength from God, the strength for our minds to continually believe in our Lord, to have the intellectual dimension of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, our mind to be fully convinced, you see, and our social lives also will be really orchestrated by the knowledge of God and the glory of Christ Jesus. And then he said, when we have this power, we need this power. Why? Why? What for? The power of the Holy Spirit and the power of understanding and the power of love, or the power of teaching, the power of being renewed in your strength every day. What is all this for? What is all this for? This is what Paul is saying. He says, so that you may have great endurance. Ah. So if you have something as a Christian, I know we all go through pains. We have just prayed for our brothers. But what is this? This is so appropriate. So God wants us to endure. But we cannot endure without his strength and his power that enables us. If you find someone sick and is crying, oh, so I have a lot of people crying around me. So I remember them when I was having pain. And I said, oh, I don't want to cry like these people. I just endure it. I just cry out for God to strengthen me. You see, so this is what Paul is saying. He said, as we go on as Christians, we will face some real tough things, isn't it? We will face tough things in your workplace, at your workplace. You may have five against you. They talk behind you. You come and then some people try and do other things. And you will feel it by the Spirit. You see, you will be mistreated. How many of you who have been mistreated? But you need patience, isn't it? That comes through this power of God, this knowledge of God. So the power that will be given to you will be appropriate for every situation that you face. And so that your faith would not fail. That is what God will do. He empowers us. He sealed this covenant. You see, oath concealed. I think there is a book like that. You see, faith concealed also. So this is what we need this strength for. It's not for show. It's not for to to be the first person, so to be highly respected, to be given the first role wherever you go, or to be respected and people kissing your hand and also like bowing down to you. No, that is not the things. So that we endure. Great endurance. Have grit, not just endurance. Because it's more, just not for one day, for 2 days, not only for maybe 10 days, but until Christ comes. But you have here, you are pleasing God. You have the full knowledge. You see, you are walking a life that is worthy of Christ himself. You are bearing fruits. So why you cannot endure? You see, so to enjoy the fact that God is doing these things for you. So that is what Paul is saying here. He's saying, yeah, endurance, not just endurance, great endurance and patience. You see, that was his second prayer point. Lastly, his last prayer point, and I should finish with. He wants us also to be thankful. Not just only to be thankful. We are to be joyfully thankful. Joyfully thankful for this estate, for this grace, for this mercy that we, God himself, want us to know him. To know him, our loving Heavenly Father. To know his love for us and his power and all that he has for us. And his desire for us to act in every way wise and to bear fruit that speaks of his name and the glory of Christ our Lord. So he wants us to be thankful in this. To be thankful, like Paul, he says, he was so thankful all the time. And he's thankful for that has gone. And also he's thankful for what was going to come. So now he wants them to be thankful, not only because they were saved, like previously, but also to be thankful because you have been qualified. He told them, you need to be thankful because you have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. To be qualified. You know, like the soccer, those people who love soccer. So you know the World Cup is coming, isn't it? Where? In Qatar, isn't it? I used to be really a great fan of soccer until I became too busy. I can't follow that. So they divide all the teams, world's teams, into groups. And then what happens? They qualify, isn't it? To the next step. You see? And then after they have qualified, also they have to qualify again. You see, like 16. So they call it period 16, and then 8, and then 4, and then 2 only, and then the winner, isn't it? Well, here, Paul is saying, you have been qualified. You didn't win. You see, you didn't do anything to make you be part of this great kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of sin, those who have been set free from their sin and declared righteous and made friend of God. And God is pleased with. He said, you have been qualified and you're supposed to be thankful and thankful joyfully. And so he called them to do that. You need to do that because this kingdom in which you are a member, so is God only to qualify you to because of the work of his son, Jesus Christ. And Paul could not sing of anything else than this. So this is what he wants them to. This is the praise he got. Can you remember this praise, these three prayers? I'd like to finish with this song that I found randomly, Brave Soul. O gracious and holy Father, give us wisdom to perceive you, intelligence to understand you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to see you, a heart to meditate on you, and a life to proclaim you through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, our Lord. They say like Saint Benedict. So it's good that the word saint is a stick there. And then you can stick it to you next to your name as well. Because though we are not saints because we have done something particular, but because we have been qualified. Are you qualified? Have you believed the fact that this prayer can be fulfilled in your life? If you believe something else, and I think this sermon was not for you, if you can't believe it, because there is nothing that you could do about this, only to believe. And when you believe this, God will bring this forth out in your life, and it will be a reality. and you will praise God for that. Let us pray.